today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Almighty Allah, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners of today's special from IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum and welcome. We're talking about the concept of sacrifice in the view of Islam. I invite you to listen to us. تلفني بل من ورائي واللحد يحكي ظلمة فيها ابتلائي والنور خط كتابه أنسي لقائي. Today, Tuesday, is the 9th of Safar, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of September, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of verse 27 of chapter Al-Ma'idah from the Holy Quran. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Watlu alayhim naba'a bnai adama bilhaqq idh qarraba qurbanan fatuqubbila min ahadihima wa lam yutaqabbal min al-akhar qala la'aqtulannaka qala innama yataqabbalu Allahu min al-muttaqin.
And recite to them the story of Adam's two sons, in truth, when they both offered a sacrifice to Allah, and it was accepted from one of them, but was not accepted from the other. Said the latter, I will surely kill you. Said the former, indeed, Allah only accepts from the righteous who fear Him.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In Islamic literature and in the Torah, it is recorded that Abel was a shepherd and he offered his best lamb as the sacrificial animal. But Cain, who was a farmer, brought the worst part of his agricultural product to sacrifice. Therefore, the main principle is striving to draw near to Allah, not to simply sacrifice. Whatever the sacrificial thing may be, the criterion of the acceptance of these is piety.
Allah, 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 malana maulan siwa Allah. Allah, 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 malana maulan siwa Allah. Kullama
Islam and sacrifice. The path of Islam cannot be anything other than the path of struggle, and therefore sacrifice. Is not Islam, one might say, a gift of God? It surely is. Without His help and His enabling hand, we can take no steps on the straight path, the path of Islam. Yet only through our sincere intention and devoted striving can we deserve to receive this most precious gift, to retain it, to grow in it, to derive full benefit from it. The gift, no doubt, is given in His infinite mercy and kindness, but it is not unconditional. If given whether desired or not, and earned or not, it would have become cheap, valueless. This is why the Quran says that Allah guides unto Himself him who turns unto him. You can find it in chapter 42 of the Holy Quran, verse 13. Turning towards Allah requires both will and effort. It also entails turning away from all false gods. Besides Allah, it is a total change of direction, inner and outer. Progress then depends on striving. Allah says in chapter Al-Ankabut, that is chapter 29 of the Holy Quran, verse 68, those who strive hard in our way, surely we shall guide them unto our path. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the sacrifice and its role in people's lifestyle. Another aspect to be taken into account or to be taken seriously is the type of education someone receives, or the type of teachings or lessons and education a person has received. If people have teachers who are themselves exemplary people in terms of showing sacrifice to other people, or, for example, when students receive some anecdotes, some real anecdotes of the lives of those people who sacrificed themselves for the life of other people in order to save other people's lives, we find that, those reading group of people will in turn, in the future, make those personalities who are ready to sacrifice their own lives in favor of others. Another element is the element of the genetic element, or the element of heredity. We find that some people are by nature, there are people who are ready to sacrifice whatever they might have in hand for the sake of those people who might be really in dire need of those things. For example, take this example that the infallible imams in whom we believe in Islam, there were people who all of them were descendants of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a personality who sacrificed everything, his whole life, for the sake of directing people to the right path. Now we find that, this element of heredity that the infallible imams had in order to direct people to the right path, this element found expression and became evident in the life and times of all the infallible imams, and even in the non-infallible descendants of the infallible imams, we find that many of them proved to be very great and influential people because of the type of sacrifice that they showed to other people.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every
From the things to sacrifice for the sake of Allah can be nafs. What does it mean? Be with us. The nafs is our lower self or ego, which causes bad character. The nafs commands us to evil. It wants us to sin. It wants us to argue with others. It wants to win no matter the cost. Ego can easily make us arrogant and selfish. and it can stop us from accepting the truth. If we make the decision to tame our egos for the sake of Allah, He makes the path to self-rectification easy for us. When we take the first step, He comes to welcome us onto the path. The nafs is also the part of us that wants us to fulfill our desires. Allah commands us to give up fulfilling our desires in a haram way and instead commands us to fulfill them in a halal way. Desires can manifest in a variety of different ways and many are permissible within Islam in the right context. So do that which is permissible in moderation and within the boundaries set by Allah. In the month of Safar, and it's the place that we're gonna look at one of the biggest sacrifice for Islam, and that is the unforgettable sacrifice in Karbala. To succeed in his mission, it was not enough for Imam al-Hussein to sacrifice just his own life. He needed a critical mass of companions to lay down their lives to generate maximal impact on consciousness. Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, made it abundantly clear that there were no gains to be had, only sacrifices to be made. His message to his encourage came when he received the news of the death of his emissary to Kufa in Iraq, whom he had sent ahead of him at the invitation of that town's resistance. Having pruned the ranks of his companions, Imam Hussein alayhi salam tested those who remained on the eve of tragedy of Karbala. He first appealed to their reason. Yazid was only interested in his head, so they should leave him to his own fate. Next, he relieved them of their social responsibility. He absolved them from the oath of allegiance that they had sworn to him. When all else failed, he protected them from a sense of shame. He put out the light so they could live in the darkness of the night. Virtually all the historians who recorded this incident do not mention that any companion left.
Are we mentioning Imam al-Hussein because he's our relative? Because we're mentioning him because of his noble character. Because he showed us that even in those worst conditions, in those tragic days, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam still was only thinking about Allah and thinking about the rights of other individuals. And that's why likewise, his father Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, when he was struck in Ramadan while he was doing sujood, ruku' and salah, what did he say? He says, "Fustu wa Rabbi al-Kaaba." He says, "I have prevailed." Have you ever heard of somebody that he's killed? He's struck by the sword. He says, "I have won." He should have been told, "No, Ya Ali, you lost because Ibn Muljam killed you." But the scale of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam of winning and losing isn't who dies and who lives. It's who leaves that noble legacy that for thousands of years people will be inspired by, will love, will follow in his footsteps. A legacy filled with morals and ethics and nobility. And that's why when we look at the life of Imam al-Hussein, and it's specifically those final days of his life, we find Imam al-Hussein, he was shining even those last days. Throughout those final days of Karbala and Ashura, he never forgot about the huquq of Allah against him that we spoke about. For example, Salah, amongst the most important of huququllah that we have to maintain is salah, prayer. You see, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the night of Ashura, he knows tomorrow he's going to be killed. Tomorrow, not only he will be killed, his children, his family members, after that, his woman will be taken as slaves. It is not easy, brothers and sisters, for someone like Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Holy Prophet, with so much dignity, to know that his woman will be taken as slaves. Can you think about anything? If you put an average person in such a situation, they'll lose their minds. They'll go crazy, because tomorrow is the worst day of that person's life. Al-Imam al-Hussein, the night of Ashura, he's thinking about Salah.
Dear friend, inshallah, we continue our discussion on the next episode of today's special. Until then, wassalamu alaikum.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.